The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Kiss Your Life Hello with Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. This program is all about relationships from love and family to health and business. It's a diverse world of alternative thinking as it applies to your daily life. Now it's time to kiss your life hello. So here are Drs. Nair and Piper.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this very special edition of Kiss Your Life Hello. We are so pleased that you're able to join us. We have very, very interesting guests and lineup of discussion topics for all of our listeners out there. But without much ado, let me welcome Dr. H. Are you on the line? How are you, sir?
I am doing great, my dear. How are you?
Fantastic.
So you're traveling this weekend, and so am I.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit. Where are you going?
Well, I'm going to Costa Mesa, California, which is absolutely like 75, 80 degrees there. And I'm going to be speaking at a health conference, a company called Moxor, M-O-X-X-O-R, that makes an unbelievable omega-3 product from green lipid muscle. So I will be there for about 3-4 days, and it's nice. It's not one of these where I have to go cross-country so I can get into my car and I can drive there. It's beautiful.
Well, that's always helpful, and especially saving oil and gas this time and age. So I would be going to Boston, and we are going to be leaving shortly for it's a natural product expo, Dr. H, mm-hmm. and with wonderful, wonderful manufacturers and distributors and in the natural health industry. So I'm very excited about it because we're going to learn all about, you know, what's the latest, what's going on in the field, and, you know, what's everybody doing, and have a chance to show, you know, what the research and what we are doing with the Jiva supplements.
Are you going to do a book signing with your book, Prevent Cancer?
Yes, absolutely.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. We're giving away some copies of the books, and we are encouraging more and more stores around the country to carry it. We are very, very pleased that so many of the health retail stores are carrying the message that chronic disease states can be prevented with, or managed concomitantly with, you know, medications. But mainly the prevention part and managing chronic illnesses through diet and nutrition. So that's a very important thing. But I understand you have something that you want to share with us today.
Well, I was going to let ladies first because you have something that's very, very powerful for men.
Well, it is for men, and you have for women, I guess.
Yeah, so ladies first.
Okay, I'll take the shot. Well, this is a very important aspect of some people don't realize that, especially men and their significant others, the women, wives and girlfriends, fathers, you know, the daughters don't need to know about this. That blood sugar affects testosterone measurement. This a recent study that was conducted at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston indicated that male testosterone levels drop up to 25% due to after-meal blood sugar peaks. Blood glucose can increase dramatically from certain high glycemic foods such as potatoes and corn and non-whole food pastas and, of course, sugared desserts. And so the study, included 74 men, 42 with normal blood sugar, 23 what we call the impaired or pre-diabetic blood sugar levels, and 9 with type 2 diabetes. And each was given a sugary solution before the testosterone testing, and, of course, which lowered testosterone counts for over 2 hours. So as a result, one of the findings was that 15% of the 66 men with normal testosterone levels before the test had low testosterone at some point during the test. And the endocrinologist from St. Vincent's University Hospital in Dublin, Ireland, said, you know, on this basis, most people, they would be, most of these 15% of the men would have been mistakenly been recommended for testosterone supplementation. But the findings in this study supports the notion that men found to have low testosterone levels should be reevaluated in the fasting state. So I think this is a very valuable finding for men out there who have been diagnosed to have low testosterone levels, you know, to get your fasting blood sugar levels tested. And for those who are interested, this is an excerpt from the Blood Sugar Spikes Send Testosterone Levels Down. That's the title of the article. It's by E. Mundell, and it's referencing a news release from the Endocrine Society. So that's what I have to say.
So dessert and lovemaking don't go together.
Well, it seems that you have to have non-sugary desserts. You know, for certain men, I think this is at a high-risk men, not all men. So it's an interesting finding for those who have, you know, concerned about their low testosterone levels. You know, with age, testosterone levels do come low. But it's interesting to see that the diets can have an influence.
Sure,
on that.
Sure. You know, a lot of people, for women too, with low blood sugar or hypoglycemia, they fall in that borderline over there. So it is very, very important to watch, you know, the foods that we eat, not only the desserts, but the starches convert to sugar. So, speaking of the ladies, this is interesting. The title is Chocolate Cravings Not Due to Hormones, says study.
Chocolate
cravings not due to hormones. Okay, ladies. A woman's craving for chocolate as she approaches the menopause is not down to hormones, but more a reaction to the stress and discomfort of the menopause, a new study. While food cravings are experienced by over 75% of both men and women, the increased incidence in the fairer sex, the ladies, particularly around the time of the menopause, and particularly for chocolate, has not been explored, according to scientists from the University of Pennsylvania. So these two ladies wrote an article in the magazine called Appetite, and they said if cravings were due to hormonal effects, then a difference in the incidence of craving of about 38% would be expected between perimenopausal women, PMS, around the time of menopause, and postmenopausal women. However, there is actually a decrease of only 12%, suggesting that female reproductive hormones are not the principal cause of perimenstrual chocolate cravings. So we'll go all the way on the bottom over here. It says, commenting on the ingredients in chocolate, the researchers noted that chocolate undoubtedly contains a lot of bioactive ingredients, including stimulants like caffeine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. However, unlike coffee, where consumers often refer to the pharmacological effects, consumers usually note that the sensory aspects of chocolate are the most attractive, including its melt-in-your-mouth texture, sweetness, and fragrant aroma. This is all tied in, bottom line, it's all tied into stress. So it's not the hormones, ladies, that's causing the chocolate craving. It's the stress. And I like this fact over here, too, including its melt-in-your-mouth texture. That's probably why M&Ms have made gazillions of dollars through the years.
So now I have to give up on my M&Ms.
I'm sorry, my dear. It is in North America where chocolate has the property of being a forbidden fruit for many women. Discomfort may license its consumption. That's what was the conclusion of these ladies in their article. That's pretty neat and pretty interesting because, you know, we're always here through the years, chocolate is healthy for you, chocolate is this, it helps with the hormone balance. But they're finding this study actually did not really have that much of an effect. And it's all created, not all, but most of it's created within the fact of stress. And also, it's a comfort food. I mean, hey, I love chocolate. I'm a chocoholic, so
yes,
I'm,
you are.
Stand up and say it. And I love that melt-in-your-mouth effect.
Well, it's always good to know what the current study says. Some studies say, yes, it's good for you. Some studies say chocolates are not good for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just interesting to engage in the battle. But, you know, like we talk about all the time, Dr. Hitch, it's moderation. Moderation is key, and that really helps us to stay the balanced course. Having said about foods, I want to introduce we have two guests for today. The first guest we have is Dr. Kayla Daniel. Now, Kayla has a PhD. Dr. Daniel earned her PhD in nutritional sciences and anti-aging therapies from the Union Institute and University in Cincinnati. She's board certified as a clinical nutritionist by the International and American Association of Clinical Nutritionists in Dallas and she serves on the board of directors of the Weston Price Foundation, Washington, D.C. Now, she has written a very eye-opening, very interesting book on the subject of soy, and it's titled The Whole Soy Study. The Whole Soy Story. This is a tongue tripper, but the reading here is really worth its while for those of you who are concerned about the dark side of America's favorite health food. So Dr. Kayla Daniel will be coming on shortly after the break and talking to us about the dark side of the soy. But we also have another guest. It's a good friend of mine, Mark Mead. Mark has a master's degree in nutrition from UNC of the School of Public Health, and he has served as an integrative medicine research consultant to four integrative medicine clinics in North Carolina. He's currently at the Carolina Center for Integrative Medicine. And he's a research associate for the Institute of Cancer Research and Education, as well as I've known him for many years, the associate editor for Integrative Cancer Therapies. This is a peer-reviewed medical journal. He's also co-author of the Rapid Recovery Handbook. And so we'll be having both these very, very interesting guests with a very lively discussion when we come back from the break. So, and I think we want to acknowledge also that we had a very interesting guest last week.
Yes, so, Dr. Hannah Solomon. She did excellent. And she's our new sponsor with her name, your product.
Great. Thank you. We'll come back after the break and we'll share our lively discussion and talk to you guys more.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nair's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores. Your health is your greatest treasure and the foundation for everything in your life. Learn about your health and all aspects of wellness and healing, both from a traditional perspective and from a natural one as well. Your hosts, Drs. Patrick Donovan and Herb Joyner-Bey, will encourage lively discussion about health and medicine in a light style that makes it easy for you to understand. The show is called Paradox of Health. Listen every Wednesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
This ain't your mama's brain and health show.
Tune in and get ready for entertainment and information about your mind and body that will really change your life. Primal Body, Primal Mind Radio is a sane departure from conventional thinking about diet, health, and the brain. Host Nora Gedgaudas will also combine humor and science to illuminate the mind and open your eyes to the principles of neurofeedback and diet, which can help you and your family live a better life. Primal Body, Primal Mind Radio airs live Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome welcome back, everyone. We have for you, this is Dr. H, Vijay, and Dr. H is with me. With us in this discussion today, we have Dr. Kalia Daniel, and she is the author of a fantastic book, a fascinating, gripping book called The Whole Soy Story. And it's about the dark side of America's favorite health food. Dr. Kalia, welcome on the program.
Thank you. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and
what motivated you to write this book.
I was seeing a lot of sick vegetarians and health-conscious people who were eating a lot of soy. And, of course, like most of us, I'd been seeing all the newspaper headlines with all the good news about soy, the joy of soy, the soy of cooking, and hearing that soy was curing everything from cancer to ingrown toenails. And I was not seeing that. I was seeing a lot of people who were having health challenges, and it seemed soy was not helping them. So that aroused my curiosity, and I spent 4 years researching and writing the book.
Thank you. And can you share with us, what is the main theme in the book, and what message do you have to say to our listeners?
Well, the main theme would be that soy is not a health food. It does not prevent disease. It's not the answer to world hunger. And most of all, it has not even been proven safe. And there's a lot of reasons for that. It's a very complicated subject, but soy has been linked to malnutrition, digestive problems, thyroid dysfunction, cognitive decline, reproductive disorders, including infertility and loss of libido, immune system breakdown, attention deficit disorders. It is now widely regarded as one of the top 8 allergens. And soy has even been linked to heart disease and as a cause of cancer.
So, Kalia, there's a lot of confusion because we're told that in Asia, women, particularly women, live to be in the hundreds and they eat a lot of soy. And I've been to Thailand and I've been overseas, you know, to different countries, and I don't see that happening in regards to the amount of soy. So, where's the truth? And where is it, and I love the word embellishing, and that's what commercials do today.
There's plenty of embellishing with the marketing of soy, and of course the soy industry would like us to believe that Asians are a lot healthier than we are and that they're eating massive amounts of soy for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks. And the reality is that Asia is a large continent with many different dietary customs, many different lifestyles. But wherever we go, the practice is to use soy in the diet as a condiment and not as a staple food. So yes, they're eating soy, but they're eating very little comparatively. And the thing is, the soy that they might be eating, or at least we're eating traditionally, would be old-fashioned products, including fermented products like miso, natto, tempeh, and those are actually healthy for us. We should eat them in moderation, of course, but they are healthy, nourishing foods and very different from all the industrially processed soy bean products that were being marketed in America. The Asians traditionally were not eating things like soy protein isolate, hydrolyzed plant protein, textured vegetable protein, soy protein concentrate, or any of these types of soy ingredients that came in after World War II.
Thank you. At this point, I just want to introduce Mark Mead again. Mark is from the Carolina Center for Integrative Medicine. And Mark, welcome to the show, firstly. What do you have to say about your experience with what Dr. Daniel is saying about soy? Is all soy bad for us? Is it just a fermented soy? What is your point of view?
Well, I appreciate with Dr. Daniel that she qualified the comments about soy. I think it's very misleading to say, to start off a conversation with soy in general is bad for people, and I don't think she meant to convey that point because she then pointed out that there are healthy soy products, and indeed most of the research that shows that soy is linked with various cancer preventive effects, which has been my main focus. I did my master's meta-analysis on soy and breast cancer risk, which is just a way of looking at the data and pooling it together. And the meta-analyses on this subject have shown consistently that there is a protective effect of soy against premenopausal breast cancer. However, this is mostly with data looking at people who have eaten soy from a very early age. So it's lifelong soy consumption, even getting exposed to soy in the womb. But these are traditional soy products, such as Dr. Daniels mentioned, with tofu, tempeh, miso. Miso in particular has probably more of the anti-cancer effects, and this brings us to the fermented soy issue. There is a product that I know you're all familiar with. I know, Dr. Nair, you are very familiar with because you've done a lot of research with it. Super fermented soy products like the Jiva and the Halen, we have seen doing incredible things with cancers where there have been actual regressions of some cancers in response to taking these products where nothing else was changed in the diet. So it's clear that there are very powerful anti-cancer effects of soy, of some soy products, especially the super fermented, unusual products like the Halen or Jiva. I think the part of the problem is that we have adulterated soy so much that there are a lot of problems with the very highly processed soy foods, and that they do pose a problem. The traditional soy products and the super fermented or ultra fermented products contain many compounds that are not found in those highly processed soy products, and those compounds probably do have various beneficial effects. And again, my main focus has been in the area of cancer. I'd just like to say one more thing about the cancer protective effect. I think it's very likely that the compounds in soy that are protective against cancer are most effective when they are combined, as they are in a good balanced diet or a wholesome vegetable-based diet, where you see things like resveratrol and selenium, curcumin, which is from the East Indian spice turmeric, green tea, and omega-3s. All of these have been shown to be synergistic with the soy genistein in killing cancer cells. And most recently, there was a study showing that genistein, soy genistein, and curcumin, again from turmeric, was synergistic against estrogen receptor positive breast cancer. So even the estrogen receptor positive breast cancers may respond well to certain soy products. And I think the key is being selective, knowing which products to use, and that's where my colleagues and I have made most of our focus. So again, I just think it's misleading to generalize about all soy, and I don't think that Dr. Daniels meant to do that at the outset. And that's my comment. I mean, happy to say more, but yeah.
Thank you for saying that. And I was especially interested to show the studies consistently showing that, you know, just one serving a day of particularly fermented soy foods, but, you know, just one serving contributes to a reduction in cancer risk. And I think this was the president of the research for the American Institute of Cancer Research was quoted as saying this, so the helpful benefits of the soy and how to look at whether the soy is helpful for you or not helpful for you, you know, I think that's the key that, you know, we are stressing on. Dr. Daniel, do you have any comments?
I would say that I certainly think there's a possible pharmaceutical application of soy products such as have been mentioned, in the sense of that you're monitoring, you're dosing, you're making sure it's something that would be good for that specific patient. And that's a very different situation than the whole soy industry marketing their products for every man, woman,
yes,
and child in the population.
Yes, yes.
So how can we get your book? Because your book really explains the difference. It goes into detail, and you and I have talked about this, you know, the past number of years. How can somebody get the whole soy storybook?
Probably the best place is Amazon.com, a very good price, discounted price, and you'll get it fast wherever you live.
And do you have a website?
I have a website, wholesoystory.com.
wholesoystory.com.
That's right.
Powerful.
I just wanted to add one other point because I unfortunately have to get off the show shortly. This is Mark Mead again, and I think that there is a very logical claim that could be made that soy, the traditional soy foods as whole foods or whole food concentrates, such as the Jiva, do contain many anti-cancer compounds, but that the pure soy isoflavone preparations that some people are looking at for like bone enhancement and or cardiovascular effects, they don't have those protective effects against cancer. I think it's very possible that the anti-cancer effects extend way, way, way beyond the soy isoflavones, and that has been a bit of a red herring in the research, and that people have been very focused on those soy isoflavone concentrates, but they don't seem to have the anti-cancer effects that the whole food or the fermented soy foods would have.
Yes.
This is where the public is totally confused. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Confused. That's why this book is very, very powerful for people to read, to understand.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Mark, for taking your time from a very busy schedule to pay us your to give us your comments.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Dr. Daniels, for your work.
Thank you.
Okay,
so
take care.
We're going to be getting into pretty soon, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about whether soy foods are a blessing or a curse, and how else to evaluate the research and what's out there, what's good for you and what's not good for you in terms of soy foods. So turn on, don't go away, come back after the short break.
Steps to a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nair's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
Inside all of us lives a warrior. We win battles with our careers, our finances, our children, our pets. It's time that the warrior within wins the battles with our own being. Modern-day Renaissance man Ori Hofmeckler dispels eating urban legends and fitness myths in Voice America Network's The Warrior Within, your guide to nutrition, energy, sex, and survival. Ori sets the record straight and will help you become leaner and healthier for a lifetime. The Warrior Within broadcasts live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Tune in for your guide to nutrition, energy, sex, and survival.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. 472-5792 or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome back, everyone, to this next section with Kiss Your Life Hello, and this is Dr. Vijay. With us, we have Dr. Kayla Daniel, and we are talking about a very interesting book that Dr. Daniel has written called The Whole Soy Story. That's available now in all your major bookstores and Amazon.com and on her website. But this is very interesting. Dr. Daniel and I, we were all talking about, you know, people think that taking a lot of soy food, I mean, we're not talking, folks, about moderation. We're talking about eating unlimited amount of whether soy foods or soy milk. It's actually bad for you. And the problem that the ancient Chinese and Japanese and Asian society in general found, and you can read about the history of soy in her book and on my website, you know, thejivasupplements.org. We do give a history of it. But, for you know, the traditional Asians, they found that eating too much of these unfermented soy foods can give you a terrible bellyache and bloating and, you know, gastrointestinal discomfort. And so, you know, I think Dr. Daniel and I were talking just now with Dr. Hitch that, you know, people go into the stores and see, oh, there's a frozen pack of edamame, frozen edamame beans, and they're just eating it, you know, like a popcorn. What are your comments on that, Dr. Daniel? People think that, you know, eating more is good for you, especially with soy foods, and they're feeling, you know, they should be feeling some very terrible discomfort.
Some do, and in many ways they're the lucky people because they stop the excess soy consumption early on because it's so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason that soy is hard to digest. It is high in protein compared to other plant foods, but it contains something called protease inhibitors, and that inhibits the ability of your body to digest protein. And soy also contains other factors that cause gas and can lead to pancreatic problems. And this makes the product very hard to digest. And that is the reason that traditionally Asians would ferment soybeans long-term to make miso and why they ate small quantities.
You know, the times that I've spent over in Southeast Asia, they'll use a small amount of tofu, small amount of miso soup, and they'll eat a lot of fish, and they'll eat a lot of vegetables. And it's like the advertising companies, the commercials, are now switching it around, saying, you know, they're eating a lot more of the soy than anything else. And it's really the fish, and it's really the vegetables. I have a question, though, that I want to ask Kayla. Excuse me. Is that the average consumer is totally confused. Either they go into a health food store or they go into a supermarket, and they're going to see soy milk, soy protein powder, soy sauce, you know, the ingredients, soy burgers, tofu burgers, you know, all these other different soy hot dogs. Where do we go to, and what do we look for? Because soy can be hidden in other different type of labels too, correct?
That's right. Soy is a popular ingredient in more than 60% of processed, packaged, and fast foods. With fast foods, it's nearly 100%. Wow. If you go to McDonald's, you're going to find soy in the burger, in the bun, in the shake, and everything there. But the bottom line, the way I see it, is that we shouldn't be eating processed, packaged, and fast foods anyway. We should not be going to chain restaurants because all the stuff is pre-prepared and they just heat it up, and it's full of all sorts of additives, and soy is one of many bad ingredients for us.
You know, Dr. Vijay, a number of years ago, I was giving a lecture in Dallas, Texas, and as I was buying something at a health food store, and actually it was a Whole Foods, and there was a woman behind me with her mother with the baby, and she was buying some soy milk for the baby. And I said, okay, do I say something or do I not say something? Because in my book, the ADD and ADHD diet book, I talk about, besides sugar, corn, and you know, wheat and dairy, no soy for the little ones. So I turned around, and they were totally shocked. And they say, but Dr. So-and-so says, you know, soy is good. And I said, you know, read my book, read Understanding. And then at that time, you know, Kayla's book was out, so I said, read the whole soy story. And it was nice. They listened to me because, you know, to start giving babies, and she must have been like maybe about 8 or 9 months old, soy milk right at that age or even before or even after is detrimental for the child.
Right. But then we've also found, remember the study in Shanghai, that girls that were taking soy foods before adolescence or, you know, during the pubertal, prepubertal years had a lower risk, much less lifetime risk of developing breast cancer. So the key, again, is in Asian countries, they're eating whole soy, they're eating the fermented version. That would be beneficial for them, not the unfermented, you know, large quantities of, you know, GMOs, you know, soy foods, processed and, you know, GMO soy foods, they can be a big problem for one's health. But going back to genetically modified foods, a couple months ago, May 19th of this year, the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, for example, called on physicians to educate their patients, the medical community, and the public to avoid genetically modified foods when possible and provide the educational materials concerning genetically modified foods and health risks. And so they're calling for a moray, to look at all the GM foods as well as for long-term independent studies and labeling. And the AAEM's position paper states that several animal studies indicate serious health risks associated with genetically modified foods, including infertility, immune problems, accelerated aging, insulin regulation, and changes in major organs and the gastrointestinal system. So more and more now, people are beginning to realize the dangers of eating, you know, not just soy foods, but genetically modified foods as well. Now, Dr. Daniel, you were speaking earlier to us that, you know, you were involved in putting up a similar kind of, stance with the FDA. Can you explain a little bit more what you're doing?
Yes, I joined some top scientists earlier this year, Dr. Kilmer McCulley for one, and Dr. McCulley is the founder of the homocysteine theory of heart disease and one of the top researchers in the world. And Dr. McCulley and Dr. Mary Enig, who is the woman who back in the late 70s first identified the problems with trans fatty acids that everyone now acknowledges as correct, and Dr. Galen Knight and some other scientists, we joined together and submitted a petition to the FDA asking them to retract the soy prevents heart disease health claim. And that's the health claim that we all see on labels of soy foods. And because of that, soy consumption in the United States went up dramatically after the health claim went into effect in 1999. And so many people will say to me, well, I understand that soy might not prevent cancer. I understand it might not help my bones. It might not help me through menopause, but at least it will help prevent heart disease. And sadly, that is totally not true. And in fact, soy can sometimes cause heart disease, particularly cardiomyopathy and heart arrhythmias. And the research is that It lowers cholesterol sometimes, but in some people it raises cholesterol. In some people it doesn't have any effect at all. And at this point, even the American Heart Association is saying soy does not lower cholesterol, does not prevent heart disease. So the American Heart Association has written a letter to the FDA asking to revoke the heart claim as well. So we are hopeful that that could happen.
This is why people need to be educated. They need to know the difference on the different forms of soy. It really is. You know, it's just a real good example is vitamin C. You know, we've had people talk about vitamin C, so people think that they can go, or the consumer thinks they can go to the supermarket or to a discount store and get vitamin C, as opposed to getting vitamin C, a better source of vitamin C at a health food store. And they need to be educated. They need to know the difference. So whether it's vitamin C from one store to another store, that's important for them to know the potency. And the same thing, you know, with your book, The Whole Soy Story, is to know, you know, what soy are we talking about? What soy do I need to avoid? What soy is going to be healthy for me? It's a very powerful book, and I wish everybody would get a copy of this.
Yes.
Thank you.
Now, in 2000, I remember the Nutrition Committee of the American Heart Association, they published a major statement in the peer-reviewed journal Circulation, and officially then they recommended the inclusion of 25 grams or more of soy protein with its associated phytochemicals intact. But it was not in the form of an isolated soy protein supplement in the daily diet, and that's it. That's a means of promoting heart health. And that was consistent with the FDA's ruling allowing the soy protein products. You know, then it came about 25 grams a day of soy protein as part of a diet low in saturated fat, cholesterol, may reduce the risk of heart disease. And we agree. I totally agree with Dr. Daniel. A lot of companies are just taking, you know, just that, oh, it contains soy. It must be good right. for your heart. You know, that is such a blatant, you know, abuse of the research findings and, you know, that, you know, it's very difficult to say why, you know, why this is rampant and not being checked. So thank you so much, Dr. Daniel, for, you know, bringing to our attention and to bring it to the attention of the FDA with your petition that, you know, this has to be properly regulated to safeguard the public's interest and health.
Yes, and people need to know as well that the American Heart Association in one of the January issues of Circulation did publicly change its position on soy.
Yes.
So
yes.
for a big organization like that to turn around and say, we made a mistake, I have to give them credit for that.
Yes. And that more and more people need to come in. And that's why this discussion is so useful,
right.
because then we can talk about, you know, the whole soy, the fermented soy, what is good for you, and not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Dr. Daniel, we're so appreciative that you could join us today for this really engaging discussion. And once again, the title of your book is The Whole Soy Story, and this is about the dark side of America's favorite health food. Tell us again, what is your website?
My website is wholesoystory.com.
Thank you so much. We welcome the discussion, and we'll definitely continue with more discussions on this topic, because this is something that we believe, Dr. H and I, that more people need to know, more listeners need to be educated on what the good soy and the bad soy, and how to take this very time-honored traditional foods in a safe, beneficial way for your health and well-being. So now we're going to go into the next break, and when we come back, we will have more news for you. Take care, and we'll see you. We'll talk to you soon.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nayer's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores.
Wake up with a unique daily show. Listen for Mitchell John in the morning. Mitchell will bring you news, sports, and stock news from yesterday. You'll hear interviews from high-profile figures from the world of sports, entertainment, politics, and authors. Mitchell will talk to people throughout America. This is a show that throws right down the center. It's fun, information, and yes, even a little bit of music. Catch Mitchell John in the morning at 6 a.m. Pacific time, Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on Voice America, and Thursdays on the Voice America Business Network.
For several decades, homeopathy has been associated with more than just natural healing. What exactly is homeopathy, and how can it benefit your total health, lifestyle, and overall well-being? Tune in to Homeopathy, Health, and Transformation when host classical homeopath Linda Morse will take you through the philosophy behind homeopathy and with special guests explain how its principles can be applied to many aspects of modern-day healthy living. Homeopathy, Health, and Transformation airs live Mondays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome back to Kiss Your Life Hello. And excuse me, my throat is clogging up a little tiny bit. I guess I'm going to need to get some alkalized water into my body. But Dr. Vijay, it was a powerful show. There's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of confusion, and I appreciate, you know, having Mark Mead on and Dr. Kayla Daniels talking, and even with your expertise, because you are the source, young lady. You are the source, and I've used, you know, information in some of my books through your research. So I'm very honored, you know, to be the co-host with you.
Well, this is great stuff because Dr. H, you and I have been involved for decades now, talking about choices and talking about, you know, we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater entirely. But there are good points both in conventional medicine, absolutely, both in the kinds of foods that we eat, you know, whether it's traditional, whether it's fermented soy foods or organic foods or, you know, non-GMO foods. This is the kind of information people have to know. You know, and I'm so honored and privileged to be doing this with you. So we want to focus on, you know, what are the subjects that interest our listeners. So if you have something that you want us to discuss in the show, please feel free to either email us at info@kissyourlifehello.com or give us a call at 866-472-5792 and tell us your views and, you know, what you liked, your comments and your suggestions. We've had so many call-ins and suggestions from people that, you know, we are taking the summary of what you have been wanting us to say in the show and the kind of programs we want to put on. So please keep coming with your suggestions to all of you who are listening to our show. We thank you. You know, this has been a great opportunity for Dr. H and myself.
You know, last week we had Dr. Hannah Solomon on, an awesome pediatrician. You know me, I fall in love very easily. Well, I've just fallen in love with this woman's energy. And she has a product, you know, that is one of our sponsors now called Nasal Pure. But she sent me something that was really interesting, and I just read it to, you know, to the audience. Swine flu, what me worry? The headlines continue to appear. Two more die of swine flu in the Mideast, and new powers to quarantine may be tested in flu outbreak. How much of this media hype is for the sake of dramatic headlines, and how much is educating us about a serious risk to our health? There is no doubt that the swine flu is real. Now known as H1N1, the swine flu is a new influenza virus. This virus is spreading from person to person, probably in much the same way that regular seasonal influenza viruses spread. With school in session and cooler weather, we should expect to see a dramatic increase in the number of influenza cases. So who is most at risk for complications? This gets really confusing because we're not really given this information. What I like this is, she says, contrary to the usual seasonal flu age profile, it appears that young people and pregnant women are the most likely to have complications from the swine flu. Evidence of this bug's unusual age profile can be found in the fact that school and camp-based outbreaks have been common, while nursing home outbreaks have not been seen. That's pretty interesting.
Yes.
Information. And that and we know how the flu, we know how viruses are spread. And basically, you know, what she talks about is building up the immune system, which is very, very important. The Jiva supplement would be like number one to do, her Nasal Pure. I love that product. I've had a situation for so many years that's called post-nasal drip. And I don't know if you've been doing it, but I've been doing it every morning. And I notice a difference in the clarity. I notice that I'm not going like that, you know, a whole bunch of different times a day. And I can smell the roses, which is wonderful.
I think that's a very important, simple step. And she, and I asked her, so who should be cleaning the nasal passages? You know, it's such a simple step that, you know, that even a 2-year-old child can be trained. And she said, well, anybody who brushes their teeth every morning, you know, it's just part of your routine. But, you know, when we were young, we weren't taught to, you know, that your sinuses need to be cleared. I was talking to a young mother, Dr. Hitch, who had a child at home, sick and away from school. I kept thinking, you know, my God, how many hours and hours of worry we have as parents, you know, when our child is sick and has to stay, you know, at home, you know, as a result of a flu or a ear infection and, you know, sinuses or, you know, allergies. And this is such a simple procedure. So if you know anyone, you know, to our listeners, people that you know, you're close to, your family members who have children and, you know, who are suffering, or yourself, you're suffering, anyone who's suffering from allergies and frequent bouts of colds, you know, it's very important to go and check out Dr. Solomon's, you know, book, Clearing the Air, One Nose at a Time, or go to our website, nasopure.com, and check out the science behind it, the why more and more, you know, ENT surgeons and, you know, hospitals are recommending simple steps before jumping into surgical or long-term, you know, chronic use of medication, you know, antihistamines and steroids and inhalers, you know, to address the problem of, you know, problems with sinuses and postnasal drips and allergies and nosebleeds. There is actually a very simple solution that we can empower ourselves to take action on.
You know, it's interesting. You know, nasal irrigation is so easy. Nasal irrigation can actually wash away viral particles before they have the opportunity to invade the body. You know, it's interesting. And I want to explain, too, because there's a lot of confusion out there on nasal irrigation. I've seen anywhere from where you have these syringes where you just shove up your nose and you squirt it, which would be very traumatic, especially for a child like me. They have the neti pots where you have to have your head turned to a side. The way she conforms this, and you've used it, and Megha's used it, too, is such a simple thing. And you're right, a little 2-year-old can use it because it's very gentle. It's ergonomic, am I saying the right word? Where it's just natural for the body, so it just goes, you know, into the nose very, very gently into the nasal passage and just very, very gently squeeze the water, so there isn't any turning, there isn't looking up, there isn't any looking down, there isn't holding your breath, there isn't any closing your eyes.
Right.
And a very simple,
right,
not even what, 30 seconds worth of flushing on both sides clears out these passages, clears out the ability to have these viruses. So if we want to do something beside taking supplements to help build up the immune system, this would be another perfect combination.
We just love it. We love hearing from, you know, experts, especially doctors, naturopaths, you know, people who have spent years, decades of their life, you know, trying to help people, you know, overcome just very some simple steps that you can take and empower yourself and teach your children, you know, so that they have good habits and, you know, they learn how they can empower themselves, you know, with the right foods and right supplements and how they can, you know, move forward with you know, not putting so much of toxins into their body. And that's a very, very key word. And I'm, you know, I will be happy, Dr. Hitch, the day that I see some education in schools, starting in schools, to talk about what are the toxins that are in our everyday life, in everyday things that we use. We surround ourselves with toxins and we don't know it. You know, so which comes to the topic of our next week's guest. Would you like to introduce our next week's guest?
A very dear friend of mine, Dr. Rhonda Donahue. The book is called The Pollution Inside You. The Pollution Inside You, but with the subtitle, What Is Your Body Dying to Say? And this will talk, what you exactly said, you know, about the environmental toxins. People think that, oh, you know, I eat healthy, I drink good water, and I do all these different things. If you've been on this earth for X amount of days, not only years or centuries or decades, you know, not so much centuries, but decades, we are going to have these environmental toxins. They're just part of us. You know, I live in a beautiful area out in Southern California, but there's toxins out there from the golf courses, the sprays, the pesticides. You know, you live in a beautiful area in upstate New York. You know, you're going to have these things. So we need to be able to eliminate it. We need to clean out the body to start building up the immune system.
We see eye to eye on this, because the more choices you have, the more information you have, you know what you can avoid for yourself and your family. So having said that, goodbye everybody, and have a beautiful, beautiful week ahead till we see you again.
And if no one's told you that they love you today, let me be the first. Love you all. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you again for joining Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper for Kiss Your Life Hello. We'll return next Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a great week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.